Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I am the Watcher. I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question. What if?
And welcome to an all-new generation of Tooncast. This is our 241st episode. I am one of your hosts, TFG, and Mike. Joining me is one of the BAM crew members, Allison Richards, as she has been for all these Marvel What If things. She is from the Fortress of Baileytude, Superman and Lois tapes. Hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I plead the 7th or 5th or 27th or I don't know what I'm pleading.
We need to teach you the whole, you know, just pretend you're fine.
Yeah, I've been pretending I'm fine on podcasts for 13 years. I'm done with that shit.
More than battles won or lost, it's relationships that truly define a hero. The people who shape them, their stories. Thor and Loki, a brotherhood so strong and pivotal, it would change the fate of a universe. Their childhood taught Thor many lessons. But in another universe, instead of raising the Jotunheim prince Loki as his own son, Odin returned him to his people. Without his trickster brother to keep things, let's say, lively, Thor grew into a very different prince.
We are welcoming you to Tooncast and the Geekcast Radio Networks. Hashtag Superhero Saturdays over the next, oh my god, we only have 3 weeks left. We will be giving you our spoiler-filled discussions on Marvel Studios' new animated series on Disney+, What If? And this one, Season 1, Episode 7... What if Thor was an only child? As an only child, I can tell you that I didn't have as many friends as Thor did. I didn't have a brother from another mother. And they played that joke way too many times in this episode, I feel.
Yeah. But honestly, I kind of figured this was going to be the no-brain episode, and I was not, you know, misled in any way.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for something more. I was, as far as, what kind of fan I was of Thor before going into this, I disliked the first two films in the MCU. The third film was better than the other two, in my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Before the MCU, Thor was there. I've never really read his comics. I've never really paid too much attention to his character. It's not that I don't want to. It's not that I don't think he's a good character or anything like that. I'm glad by the time of Ragnarok, he finally kind of grew into the character that he grew into, because if Thor stayed the way he was in the first movie throughout the rest of the MCU, I probably wouldn't have stuck with the MCU.
Well, the first two movies, Thor's characterization is a lot closer to how the comics have him speak and posture and such.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you also you get that a little bit with the Avengers, but you notice how once we hit even in Dark World a little bit, but mostly in Age of Ultron, you see how being with the Avengers has lightened him.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and so then you get Ragnarok, which is just full blown Kirby. And I think that was supposed, that movie's also supposed to represent Thor going from being serious, dramatic Shakespearean, thus mother know you thou wearest their drapes, to him being the being, you know, bro Thor. So it was a transition that he had to go through, and it happened because you figure from between the Avengers movie and where Age of Ultron was, they talk about how they've been looking all over the globe for the staff, which means that off screen, the Avengers have been doing a lot of stuff together, which means he spent a lot of time with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, you take all the MCU characters, you put them in a giant, like jumbo lottery ball. I feel like if I pull Thor, at least based on the first, you know, his first appearances, I feel like if I pulled Thor's card, I'd be like, ah, oh, crap. Because this is so far up until the very end, the only parts, and I've watched this episode three times now, the only parts I absolutely love are the narration by the Watcher and the end of the episode. I like the Captain Marvel stuff. I like the fact that, you know, we get, Maria Hill, acting agent of, acting director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything else. I like that. I love that Jackson came back as Fury, even though he was only in it for like a half a second.
Well, he was also, every time Fury's been on it, it's been Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's anybody else they could, I mean, not for this version of Fury. I don't think there's anybody else they could get. I don't think there's a Mick Wingert or anyone else in the voice acting world that you could get to be Sam Jackson, because there is only one Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on this one?
Like I said, I was expecting this to be a no-brain, you know, party episode with, you know, Thor and the Warriors 3 being Thor and the Warriors 3. And I wasn't surprised at all. I did like the twist, though, about where Jane and Darcy started and where Eric was, because Eric wasn't with them in the van.
This one goes here. Green in the thing. Okay, sweet. Good to go.
Selvig, thank you. Realigning the satellites, magnifying the signal.
And Jane had a different focus on her study. So, you know, and I like that Thor acknowledged her intelligence a lot. I mean, she also talked about how, you know, she was beautiful, but, you know, he actually acknowledged, you know, her being a genius and even her calling, calling his mom, you know, even he was able to realize the intelligence behind that.
Absolutely.
So I like that. I have to admit, it was really interesting seeing Frost Giant Loki.
Oi, where's that son of a witch, Thor Odin's son?
What did you say? Vandril, tell me, is that butt ugly popsicle stick talking to me? Huh?
Bring it on in.
I can't believe you came. Loki, you are the absolute best.
You're my brother from another mother, man. I mean that. I mean it.
Ah, brothers forever.
Brothers forever.
Forever.
Wait, what's that boom?
Because that was just hilarious. You know, so there was that. Getting to see, you know, Craig and oh my God, Jeff Goldblum. That I was happy to see, especially him on the little, the electric the electric wheelchair. I'm just funny. Like, oh my God. That was funny. But no, it was like, it was like what happens when a, you know, when mom goes out of town and the teenager throws a party at the house, it gets out of hand, things get destroyed. And then you hear mom's coming home and everyone freaks out and tries to put everything back together and scatters.
Yep.
I found a lot of amusement in it. I want to know how valid Darcy and Howard's marriage is.
Damn, there goes my internship at the Galactic Queen Bee.
Well, look who came waddling back. Mrs. the Duck.
Not now, Howard.
Because if that Howard is in the same world where T'Challa is Star-Lord, well, you know, that means that there's that Howard becomes that connection between Darcy and T'Challa. But yeah, it was a no-brainer. And I kind of, you know, after the amount of really deep, hard stories we've had, especially between the Killmonger and then you had before that was, and it's on the tip of my tongue. There were zombies, and zombies, while it had some humor because, you know, just naturally Ant-Man and Spider-Man, it still was a very dark one.
Yeah. You're thinking of Doctor Strange, maybe?
Yeah. And then Doctor Strange being very dark, you know?
Yes.
And then we're going to be turning the page and going into the crossover ones, because now Captain Marvel's down here. You know, and Thor exists on our realm. So the ones that are in our realm, here are going to end up being, we've got our Thor. We have got, what do you call it? We've got Thor. We've got, T'Challa because it's the presence of Howard. We've got Captain Marvel. We know Captain Carter and Hawkeye, and our ones we know are already going to be here. So that means other people will be coming in, and then that depends which Doctor Strange is where. And so it's going to be interesting, and I like that we got the levity, that, you know, that moment to sit back, relax, because seeing Ultron with a vision inside of him,
a world restored, love blossoming, as children both human and Asgardian say, together they lived happily ever after. Wait, what? Huh? Oh dear. Perhaps I spoke too soon.
Yeah, we're going to get pretty bad pretty fast.
Now, see, that's the story. I know that's leading, like you said, leading up to Avengers and the team up and everything else. But the end of this episode, that's the story that I was interested in. I was like, ooh, hi, you have the Infinity Stones. You are Ultron. You're a visionary Ultron. What is going on with you? I need to know this now. Thor can go, you know, get drunk in a corner for all I care at this point.
But yeah, no, we will. We shall see where... what happens, because I'm pretty well, I thought that was going to be like with Killmonger, we were going to see a continuation of that, but seeing that we skipped to Thor and we didn't come back to, you know, Killmonger taking his army across, you know, to go and, you know, attack white America, it's going to make you wonder how that is going to dovetail with this.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to say the least. I mean, as we said in the beginning of this episode or this this whole series that we're doing here inside Tooncast, I really didn't have any expectations out of this because I wanted it to surprise me in every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
Something has surprised me.
Yeah. I just know Bethany shrieked in horror when we saw the St. Louis Arch upside down being used as a slingshot. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they would do that. I mean,
I loved how gosh, I can't remember the demon's name, the one who prings about Ragnarok.
You know, I've got a crown too, and we both like fire. Come on, let's see, turn up the heat on this night. Oh, look at the time.
Him hanging out with the Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
Just like, yeah, like, that French girl's hot.
Yep. It's like, oh, wait, I'm a little too hot for that French girl because I just melted half of the side of her off.
Yep.
Holy crap.
And then to fix it, he finds her arm and kind of solders it back on.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that to me is when it got interesting. Like, I like the Danvers. Danvers, whatever.
Hey, Whitesnake. We need to chat.
The name is Thor, with a T and an R and an O and an H, but not in that order. Here
I go again. I like the Captain Marvel Thor stuff. I think that's cool. I like the interaction between them.
Hey, quit it. These are... I don't know what these are. No one does. But no. I said no. Stop.
Oh, but I just have to do a little boop. Oh no, your weird rocks have all fallen over.
I started really enjoying the episode once they actually called his mother. And the whole, like you said earlier, the whole scramble to clean everything up, you know. And he's trying to get everybody to help him, and no one's helping him, and they're all going, you know.
All right, listen, the party's over. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.
Whatever.
But I need you to stay here to help me. Help me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, all Father, help me. And he goes up and just does this booming voice.
Mm-hmm.
How they got a hold of Hindo was interesting.
Yes. And then how Heimdall like pulled Jane up.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, crap, it didn't work. Hi, is this up? You know, with the person with the blue car in the white zone.
I love like, Darcy so much.
I need to see a Darcy and Captain Marvel thing because the way they played off each other was great.
Oh my God, she needs to be the cat sitter.
Yes,
I am really sad that Goose was not in that episode. Goose, they brought him up enough times. He better be coming up in the crossover episodes.
And I'm sure other people made the connection, but it took me until now to really realize when she pointed, oh, if your cat's name is Goose, does that make you Maverick? I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't see that earlier.
That's in Captain Marvel. They actually tell you that's how she gave them the name.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen the movie, and I tend to forget things unless they're right in front of me. So
yeah.
But no, not really that big of a fan of Party Thor as far as, you know, oh, hey, let's all be annoying and get drunk and do this and do that and whatever else. But as far as the rest of the episode goes, once they eventually have to clean up, I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then at the end where they're all there with the lessons and the green blackboards and everyone's like, hello, all mother, you mm-hmm. know, and you're just like snorting into your, you know, yeah. into my drink. And then Captain Marvel comes over and does a save.
Yep. Here's all the information you asked for, mm-hmm. you know, like, I think where I laugh the most is when he's trying to tell her that he's on Asgard, but then the polar bear shows up and I'm like,
oh yeah,
come on, dude.
Oh, wait, Rumlo, we never get to fire the nukes.
The nukes.
I'm like, yeah. for a villain, that was like, that was just pure gold right there for him.
Now or never, Hill.
Stand down. We're done here.
We never get to fire the nukes.
Yeah.
I do love the Rumlow's line, and I also love how Hill stops the countdown because Mom's coming, and he's just like, yeah, no, we don't need this anymore.
Yep. No. Nope.
Like, Mom We're coming good. Is like worse than a nuclear strike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then Darcy going on and on and on about, oh, we don't need the Dakotas. We can't even tell them apart.
Oh, my God.
I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, they put the horns. They put the masks on Mount Rushmore. Oh, yes. My God. I laughed so hard. It was so funny. So funny.
You know, though, that. So I liked how Thor, though, did explain that the planet was going to be destroyed anyway.
Uh-huh.
The one that they were afraid he was
right. Like, the one that
Alpha
Jane
Star.
Was like, yeah, Alpha Star. The one Jane was like, did you really kill all those people? Because again, she thinks, at least in this universe, she thinks he's an alien. She thinks he's a bad guy kind of thing. And then he explains it, and
yeah.
that was, yeah.
Yeah, so I did like that. However, you know, on Earth, there is now an extreme alcohol shortage. and the grain industry and the potato industry are going to have a hard time catching up to that.
Yeah, well, at least without it, maybe there wouldn't be any more liver cancer.
Yeah, but you know there's still plenty. But you know there's still plenty of Bud Light and Miller Light around.
Of course there is. I mean, you know, the Rocky Mountains are always going to be rocky, so
yep,
you might as well have a Coors. What else do we want to say about this one?
Because
there really isn't a lot to, like you were saying a couple episodes ago, where you were finding, and it's true, we are finding hard things to critique about this.
Yeah.
So far in this one, it's like, what can we discuss? They threw a party. Mom's coming and they've got to clean it up. I mean, it's a very straightforward plot. There is no real deep thinking character moment for Thor here because it's at a time when he just got to Midgard.
Yeah,
this isn't like between Dark World and Ragnarok where he had whatever adventures he had.
No, this is like a re-envisioning of Thor. No, I mean, it's a really interesting point where the fracture point from this, from the world, from the MCU, is with Odin giving Loki back.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other thing I want. All right. No, this is what I would like. You know, with them having had some of these, you know, deeper, more, you know, higher thinking type episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was this like a little bit of a stress relief before the season finale arc starts,
mm-hmm.
but I think this episode is like the most accessible to the younger MCU fans.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so you know, so if they've been having a hard time with some of the other episodes, like they probably would have been fine with T'Challa. Probably okay with Captain Carter, and probably okay with the zombies, but Doctor Strange and Killmonger and Ant-Man, well, Yellow Jacket, those probably I wouldn't, you know, kind of want to give those to younger kids to watch. But this one was definitely the younger audience could enjoy this.
Yeah. And I don't think, and anyone who's listening to this that's a parent, I don't think any parents are letting their kids watch this show. This show is for us. This show is for those of us who are the age we are now, those of us who have spent the last 13, 14, whatever it is, 15 years watching the MCU. I don't know. I'm not a parent. I couldn't tell you what parents would do, but with how emotional the previous six episodes have been, you're right. This is a palate cleanser, like, you know, shut your brain off type episode. There are certain moments in it when you can kind of think, like when Jane's trying to sneak a phone call with, like, he calls her and she's trying to sneak away and blah, 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 you know, or, you know, the moments with him and Thor, even some of the moments with him and Captain Marvel. I mean, you know, it almost feels like, and I know this probably will never happen, no matter how many Marvel Cinematic Universe phases we get, it almost feels like they could take the overall plot of this, put it somewhere else, like take these characters, take Frost Giant Loki, take Captain Marvel, take everybody and give them a plot past Ragnarok. I don't know what Love and Thunder is going to be. I have not seen, I mean, I've kind of read a little bit about it, but I haven't seen anything that specifically says what Thor Love and Thunder is going to be. Maybe I'm blind to it. I don't know. But
the major thing about Thor Love and Thunder is that they're going to explore the origin of Jane Foster becoming worthy of Thor as Thor's hammer as well.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, because it is a comic book thing that Jane Foster has been Thor.
Yep, absolutely. What else on this one?
What I need to do for myself is I just need to go and rewatch it and just pause it on the party crowd scenes and just character pick and be like, oh my God, there's this person and there's this person and there's this person. And, you know, because, you know, the artists are totally Where's Waldo-ing in people into there that we haven't seen yet represented in the MCU films.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Oh, Mama needs a new eye, and then rolling the dice.
Yeah, that's that was funny.
Yeah.
All right, folks, I think we're going to take a quick break, come back with ratings and final words and the closing after this.
Wait. You're Thor? As in Thor, the Norse god of thunder?
I don't know anything about horse gods, but I do know how to bring the thunder.
Okay.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and... talk to me. Then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Wait, where are you going? Come back! No! You do have to stay here, and we need to clean up.
Look who's pooping the party now. It is you! You are pooping the party!
All right, folks, we are back. 0 to 5 on the GCR Universal Rating System. What would you give Season 1, Episode 7 of Marvel's What If?
Well, it's still really hard to top for me. The T'Challa episode, mm-hmm. With T'Challa Star-Lord, it's, mm-hmm. to me, that one was perfect. Yeah. So I kind of put this as like a 3.5, mainly because it's not a high concept story. It's really meant to just be a dumb comedy. It really is supposed to, it falls into that whole, like, you know, gosh, my time aging. It's supposed to be like those Revenge of the Nerds and Animal House, and feels like those kind of movies, but being brought like an MCU version of it. So it's meant to entertain. You don't really have to think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the art is amazing, as always. And, you know, I love how spot on they kept their characters true to, you know, who those characters are based on their, you know, their fractured realities. But this episode honestly could have happened and... could not have happened, and everything that would happen in the world would still happen.
Yeah, that's, you know, true.
Except Fury, yeah, wouldn't be in a coma.
Well, here's hoping he comes out of that. I mean, you know. Yeah. For me, I'm also going to give it a 3.5. As I said earlier, I was an only child, and maybe I was the boring only child because I only ever really hung out with myself. I didn't have, like, the Warriors 3 or any of those kind of... Like, I had friends, but I didn't have, like, friends that would go out. Like, and plus, my life took a completely different turn, obviously. Like, I didn't have your standard teenage year life with being in state's custody in Kentucky from 95 to 99 when I graduated high school. So it isn't like, you know, I had that, but as an only child, as a kid, I was never, oh, I got in my own trouble. I got in plenty of trouble. I did the whole, oh my God, I've ruined the house. Mom's, I could do that by myself. I don't need friends and other humans to do that with me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny how each of these stories brings out something in either one of us, or brings out memories, or bring, like, we can relate at some point or another to what the story is, even though, at least in this specific episode, like we've said, it's more of a, you know, lay back and enjoy the ride kind of episode. It's more of a, there's like the biggest deep thinking moment for me, as I said, is at the end where I want to know what's going on there with electronic vision.
Yeah, that is definitely a button, I think is the term. Mm-hmm. Tag is what they would call that last scene that mm-hmm. has usually the leads into a hook for the next episode. But mm-hmm. that's definitely a button. That is definitely a, we are going to push this button and you're going to have to wait a week now. but it is going to make you come back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for the whole ride. Season one, season two, you know, yep. I've had none of these episodes, even this one, mm-hmm. even how annoying I feel Thor is in this time period of the MCU, I'm still watching and I'm still enjoying and I'm still going to be coming back for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that. Is there anything you would like to promote before I close it out?
No, honestly, my brain right now is just filled with studying for the Praxis exam for my teaching license. I'm mm-hmm. taking that Saturday at 8 a.m. And I know I'm going to do okay. My teaching residency program wouldn't let me take the test if they didn't think I had a chance of passing it. But at the same time, I am like, oh my God, I know nothing.
You will excel on it, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you're in it for, you know, the education. You're in it to, you know, shape young minds. And
And I didn't bite a student today, so that's really good.
Wait. You can't just hook us with that and leave us till next week. You didn't bite a student today?
I did not bite the student today. I work with some of the exceptional education students. One of them has for the last three days has been pushing my buttons to see where my breaking points are and being very almost to the point of bullying, malicious. Ooh. And so today, all that was required in social studies class was to watch a video on Ben Franklin. That was all mm-hmm. that they needed to do. And so I was going to use that time to go through her notebook and make sure, you know, catch her up on notes because she wasn't there yesterday because she was getting, she went to the dentist. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was trying to make sure her notes were caught up and everything. And, when she realized I wasn't going to talk to her because I kept redirecting her to watch the movie,
mm-hmm.
she started to poke me.
Oh, no.
And it's just like that little poke on the arm, like, you know, you're trying to get somebody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I turned to her and I was like, what can I help? What do you need? You know, even though she knew what she was supposed to be doing already. And all she did was stare at me and keep poking.
Ow, quit it. Ow, quit it. Ow, quit it. Ow, quit it.
Hey, what's with this?
Ow, quit it.
And I'm like, okay, so this is the game we're going to play today. And so Bethany will tell you I have the patience of a saint sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I decided to do is I just kind of mentally in my head turned off the nerves almost like for that arm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just focus back in on the notes. And when she realized I wasn't responding to the poking on my arm anymore, she went to go start tapping my shoulder. And when I didn't respond to that, she started pulling on my sleeve.
Mm-mm.
And the other EET para professional who mm-hmm. is in that class with me ended up texting the head of the department to come down and have a talk with her. And that was how my day started.
Yikes.
Yeah. And I still had another class with her.
Oh no.
But yeah, I'm really glad that I learned patience as a child. I'm really glad. I probably, when I was learning it, did not really care to have patience. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you how many times it has saved me from killing people. But yeah. Yes.
Tooncast and the Geekcast Radio Network do not promote murder.
Especially of young children.
Yes, no. I mean, it's kind of sad that, you know, Anakin slaughtered a bunch of them, but, mm-hmm. you know, we don't promote that kind of stuff around here.
No.
Oh, boy. All righty, then.
Hearty pooper!
All right, Toonsters. As always, we want to thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other content, as well as listen to all of it. Over the last 13 years, we've gotten just over 4,000 episodes of everything, I think. I don't know. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at GCR and Tooncast and at Tooncast Beyond are for the show. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for the network. I am at TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
It's at Ali Sky Richards, AliSky. RICHARDS.
Alrighty then. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast or Radio Network. You can also look for Tooncast All Tunes All the Time over there, as well as the Superman and Lois Tapes Facebook page. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on Marvel Studios' What If Season 1, Episode 8. Holy crap, we only have 2 episodes left of this. Wow. This is going fast.
Mm-hmm.
For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Allison Richards.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh yeah, and unleash the tune in you.
Witness the biggest heroes of the multiverse.
Or small, if you catch my drift.
What if?
You know what they say, when you're out of luck, always go duck.
I'm pretty sure no one says that.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.